Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Apostle R.D. Wiggins will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in at 7 p.m. 319-527-6204. And if you have a prayer request, you can still call in on that same number, 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. At this time, I would like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
the stage, my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Go, y'all.
Yeah.
say, I'm going to get mine.
Amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Let us pray. Elohim Chaim, which means the living God. In Joshua 3:10, and the NIV says, This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Elohim, you are the living God. We lift up your name in praise and exaltation, for you are deserving of our highest admiration. In you is life. All that is living finds its existence from you. Without you, we have no life. Every animal, cell, flower, human being, every living thing receives its life from your own awesome and great living God. We praise your powerful, life-giving name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. And at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle R.D. Wiggins will be here. Amen.
The heart of his spirit takes away.
Secrets within me. where hurt had no cause. There's been those dreams that were so blue, nightmares that never end, and waking up was hard to do. Then you paved the road with streets made of gold, with light that shines forever, and time never grows old. Sent a friend who will always be true, who died for my sins. Nobody but you brings tears of joy of joy, caught up in your grace, tears of joy. Nothing can take the place of the pain that you replace in my soul with tears of joy. Walked away, came back with those hurts that decided to stay. Too many mistakes in my song, with a hook that kept on going on and on and on. With a rhythm unheard and a love that was born to save a world that was destined to go wrong. Like the wind that blows, I can feel I'm apart. So when you return, we'll be at one.
Amen. Praise God. It is now time for our daily bread, which is entitled, Every Time Something Thaws your plans. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. And it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. My second scripture reading is coming from Colossians 4 and 2, where it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And my third scripture reading is coming from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, and it says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, Every Time Something Thwarts Your Plans, or in other words, Every Time Something Blocks or Defaults Plans or Desires, use that as a reminder to communicate with me. This practice has several benefits. The first is obvious. Talking with me blesses you and strengthens our relationship. Another benefit is that disappointment, instead of dragging you down, are transformed into opportunities for good. This transformation removes the sting from difficult circumstances, making it possible to be joyful in the midst of adversity. Begin by practicing this discipline in all the little disappointments of daily life. It is often these minor setbacks that draw you away from my presence. When you reframe setbacks as opportunities, you find that you gain much more than you have lost. It is only after much training that you can accept major losses in this positive way. But it is possible to attain the perspective of the Apostle Paul, who wrote, compare to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, I consider everything I once treasured to be as insignificant rubbish. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
gone. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. So this means war.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe throughout the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Apostle Ardy Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can dial in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Amen. Praise God.
Withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing, withholding. Come on, you say. withholding nothing.
Praise be to God. Mm.
was so confused. Then came along Jesus, he told me just what to do. I was having problems, so many in my life, but I knew that he could make it right. So it's so brand new. Yeah, my favorite song, Jesus, I sing the praises of you. I know there'll be problems coming just to tear me, but with you I have the victory, victory.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And as we are going to go into our lesson for this evening, and we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen.
Amen. How are you?
Blessed. Thank you, First Lady. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Amen. So fine. We're just waiting on, are you going to do the lesson tonight?
Yes, I'm going to do the lesson tonight.
Okay, perfect.
Can you open us up in prayer, please?
Amen. Precious and Heavenly Father, we come this evening thanking you for all that you have done for us during this trial times. Thank you for life, and we thank you for strength. We thank you for providing us with all of our needs. We thank you for our families. Bless each and every one of them and guide them in the way that you would have them to go. We thank you for going down by the hospitals and nursing homes and juvenile halls and prison cells. Someone there is calling upon your name right now, Lord God. We ask that you touch them in a special way. Heal them where they need to be healed. guide them where they need to be guided, Lord God. We thank you. We praise your holy name. We give you all the glory because you deserve all of our glory, Lord God. We can't do anything without you. You are our life, our strength, our everything. And we thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins that we may have eternal life.
Yes, him, thank Lord you, God. Lord.
We thank you. We praise you. Bless the fivefold. Bless Jake and Jesus. Bless Deacon and Blake. Bless Jake's mother. Heal her where she needs to be healed, Lord God. And bless our Deacon Bolden's. Bless our songbirds, Nene and Sharon and Lady Nadine. Bless our music of minister, Jake Garnes. Bless bless my daughter, Lord God. Touch her and heal her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Let your will be done in her life right now, Lord God. Let it be all of you and none of us. We thank you. We praise you.
Thank you,
bless our pastor. Apostle Adi Wiggins, bless Mother Wiggins, touch her and heal her, Lord God, where she needs to be healed, and guide her where she needs to go, Lord God, and let everything turns out in her favor, Lord God, with your help and your strength, and we thank you, and we praise you. Bless our First Lady, and bless me too, Lord God. And heal me from my crown of my head to the sole of my feet, Lord God. You know what to do with this high blood pressure, Lord God. Let your will be done in my life, Lord God. Not my will, but your will be done.
Your will
and thank
done.
You
yes.
for walking with us, for talking with us, and for guiding us in the way that you would have us to go. Bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, Lord God. Touch them in a special way and guide them where you would have them to go. And we ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your Son. And Lord God, we ask that this lesson will be what you would have it to be. Open up our ears
Lord.
To hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to perceive what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Praise God. So we are up to the characteristics of demons.
Yes.
We were doing the possessions, and we talked about the definition of to be possessed. And now we're moving on to part two of that, which is the characteristics.
Amen.
So the characteristics of demon possession can be as varied as the activities of demons, ranging from mild to severe and even bizarre. Not too many specific symptoms of demon possessions are described in the accounts, but they include the following: physical abnormalities like muteness, blindness, and convulsions. So, Hilda, can you get Matthew 9 and read 32, and I will take Matthew 12:22.
And 32 says,
When
they left, a demon-possessed man who could not speak was brought to Jesus. Amen.
Right. So that's where we see where the demon made this man mute, took away his ability to speak. And then 12 and 22 says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man who was mute could speak and see. And then Luke 9 and 39 says, and behold, a spirit seizing him, and suddenly he screams, and it and it convulses him with foam and rarely withdraws from him, battering him severely. So that's having the convulsions with the foam coming out of the mouth and everything.
And so, you know, today we call that seizures.
Epilepsy,
yes.
Seizures, right. Or somebody can have, sometimes people can just have a seizure, you know, because of some neurological thing that happens with the brain, but people who have it consistently have a disease that they call epilepsy, right?
Epilepsy, yes.
Yeah, where they got to take medication to control their seizure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So tendencies, so there's also tendencies to self-destruction. And the self-destruction we find in Matthew 5:5, if you can get that, Hilda.
Mark
5:5. And I'll read Luke 9:22. So this is self-destruction.
Says, day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones.
Ooh.
That's what the demon had him doing, because he doesn't even realize that he was doing it, but because he was possessed by that demon, it caused him to do all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, that's the self-destruction, cutting himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Luke 9:42 says, and while he was still approaching, the demon threw him down and convulsed him.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. So the demon threw the boy down on the floor. That's to be thrown down on the ground. That's painful. And then to be convulsing too, and the demon have that, you know, that self-destruction. That's painful.
Yeah.
So then it also says insanity.
Mm-hmm.
At least the people believe demons could produce this. You know, people believe that demons can produce insanity. And we see that in John 10:20, where it says, and many of them were saying, he has a demon and is out of his mind. Why do you listen to him? Insanity. And then they also will produce superhuman strength. Superhuman strength. If you can get Mark 5:3-4.
Okay. Mark 5:3-4. So Mark 5:3-4 says, this man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Superhuman strength.
That's what
you imagine, the break chains.
Yep. Sometimes you hear people saying when they were in a car accident and they don't know where they got that strength from to lift that car up off their loved one that was pinned under the car. So that was like a supernatural strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they have occult powers. So Acts 16:16-18 says, and it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain female slave who had a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing a large profit to her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us and was crying out, saying, "These men are slaves of the Most High who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she was doing this for many days, but Paul, becoming greatly annoyed and turning around, said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he did. So her occult powers was her ability to see the future, right?
Yes.
So though demons can do these things in people, this does not mean that all illnesses, for example, come from demon activities. Luke clearly distinguished demon-induced diseases from illnesses due to other, more natural causes. And he does that in Acts 5 and 16, if you can get that.
Okay. 5 and 16 says, "Crowds came from the village around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed." Amen.
Right. So you see how he separates. He makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
He says the sick, which are the natural causes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those tormented by unclean spirits. So Dr. Luke clearly distinguishes between what's natural illnesses and demon-induced diseases.
Yes.
So it says, here is a description of a voodoo possession in the country of Haiti. And you know that country is...
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Voodoo practice. So the subject enters a trance-like state, usually after undergoing convulsion, during which one of the Loas enters his or her body and rides it.
Wow.
The human personality is displaced by a superhuman. The human features take on the characteristics of the spirits, masculine or feminine, good or evil, old or young, crafty or honest. And the human throat utters the Loas, L-O-A, Loas words. Some of them are holy, unintelligible tongues. Holy meaning totally unintelligible tongues. The possessions may last minutes or hours or sometimes days.
Wow.
During which time the person invaded by the spirit is fed the spirit's favorite food and drink. Often quite impossible for the unpossessed human to consume, and offers his favorite diversions. Afterwards, the human remembers nothing of his behavior as a god. It eats things that a regular human can't eat. Yeah, it says often quite impossible for unpossessed human to consume. So the food that this spirit will like to eat, a regular human, it's impossible for them to eat it. Imagine all that going into the stomach.
Yep.
Look.
Must be dead things.
They believe, because, the country Haiti was run for a long time by Papa Doc and Baby Doc.
Yes.
They were two.
Yep.
They controlled the country, and the people believed that they couldn't kill any of him or the security, because they were zombies. His security were zombies. I forgot it was a name they called them. But they believed that they couldn't be killed. And so, and they believed that, you know, both of them were demons, the Papa Doc and Baby Doc. So they felt, that's why they stayed in power and you know, caused so much hunger in that country and just taking up all the money and stuff like that. Because people were afraid of them because they were demons.
Yes, they were. I would have been too.
They were strictly demons, you know. So now the responsibility. The scripture says very little explicitly on this point. The warnings to be on guard against and to resist the attacks of the devil imply that failure to do so exposes one to the possibility of control by Satan and his demons. So the warning to be on guard against and to resist the attack of the devil implies that if you didn't do that, you know, failure to do so exposes one to the possibility of control by Satan and his demons.
Wow.
And I think this is why we say, get behind me, Satan, because we know. Thus, an individual may bear the responsibility for what eventuates in demon possession by giving in to the preceding satanic attacks. So first the person has to, you know, give in to it. And if we give into it, you know, they can take possession. I think this is like if you go back to like how they, you know, when they talk about voodoo possession and stuff like that. This is really true because you have to believe that it's going to happen to you, right? You have to be willing for it to happen. Because that's why, you know, when they have to make those dolls and they stick the dolls with pens if we don't, especially as Christians, resist and guard against those attacks, thus the possession would eventually occur. So, yet the case of the lad who was demonized from childhood seems to indicate this was a condition over which he had no control. I guess because he was a child. Mark 9:21 says, and he asked his father how long it was since this had been happening to him. And he said, from childhood.
Wow.
So, and certainly Paul's thorn in the flesh was not something he brought on himself, but was God using a demon to inflict the problem? That's the question.
So,
if you get 2 Corinthians 12 and 17.
12 and 7. 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, torment me and keep me from becoming proud.
Wow.
Whoa. But they don't know what that thorn in his side was.
No, we don't know what it was, but we do know that it prevented him. I mean, it annoyed him, whatever it was.
Yes,
we know that it annoyed him enough to, you know, as he said, from getting too proud. It was a reminder, I guess, that you know, you have to stay committed to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because in this version it says, even because of the extraordinary degree of the revelation, mm-hmm. therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, mm-hmm. a thorn in the flesh was given to me.
Yes.
A messenger of Satan, mm-hmm. in order that it would torment me. So it was tormenting him.
Mm-hmm.
So that I would not exalt myself.
Yeah.
So it was tormenting. It was just like, wow. Mm.
Torturing the poor man.
Yeah, so he doesn't get all puffed up.
Mm-hmm. And even though God did not remove it from him, because that's why he told him that his grace is sufficient for him.
Sufficient.
Yeah.
Right.
So in other words, you have my grace, but this thorn is to keep you from becoming too proud, because after a while, you know, some of them would say, oh, well, I did this and I did that. No, you didn't do that. God did that. So don't forget who is in charge. You are just doing my work.
Mm-hmm. And four is the extent.
Mm-hmm.
Is demon possession restricted to unbelievers? Or can it extend also to believers?
Oh, yes.
In other words,
mm-hmm.
can a Christian be demon-possessed today? What do you think?
Well, if their faith is not strong enough, yeah. And if they open up just a little crack, where Satan can slither on his little demons can slither on in. Yeah, they can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just also, I think it is like when you put into certain situations.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And where you end up doing things that you wouldn't normally do. You know,
exactly.
Like you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? You know.
Exactly.
Or, you know, that's being demon possessed for that period,
mm-hmm.
you know, or,
yeah.
you know, you start cursing at somebody.
Exactly.
Those are all ways that Christians, you know, become demon possessed.
I know a lot of Christians curse.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, they do.
So, yeah, that's right. Pastor said when people become vindictive,
mm-hmm.
you know, want to get, I'm like, get you back.
Oh yeah,
what you did.
Absolutely.
That's the work of the devil. That's the work of Satan.
Yes, that is so
work
true.
Of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So the argument against a believer's being able to be demon-possessed is often based on the fact of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer's heart.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, since the Spirit indwells the believer, it is impossible for Satan or demons also to indwell and thus possess the believer at the same time.
Right.
But do not the spirit and the flesh war within,
mm-hmm.
but do not the spirit and the flesh war within the believers? Yeah, we fight against that war all the time.
We're fighting against
the priest on that.
Principality.
Could you read Galatians 5:16-17?
Okay.
This was our sermon last Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desire that the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Amen?
Wow. They are constantly in battle.
Constantly
the
in
flesh
battle. Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit.
And the Spirit.
If it be argued that the old man has been judged,
mm-hmm.
it may also be pointed out that Satan has been judged too. Mm-hmm. So let's see if you can get, I'll do Romans 6 and 6, and you can get John 12 and 31. So Romans 6 and 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified together with him in order that the body of sin may be done away with, that we may no longer be enslaved to sin.
Mm-mm.
And John 12 and 31
says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says,
mm-hmm.
the time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out.
Amen. Right. So, yeah.
Yep. He will be cast right on out.
He'll be judged too.
Yep.
So if spirit and flesh, the new and the old,
mm-hmm.
can be present within the believer at the same time, why cannot the spirit and Satan or demons? So if the new and the old can be present within the believer at the same time, then why cannot the spirit and Satan or demons be present at the same time?
Exactly.
So we find that verses citing to support the view that believers can be possessed by demons are usually these.
Mm-hmm.
So you take Luke 13, 11 through 16.
Okay.
I'm going to read 1 Samuel 16 through 14. And this is Saul in torment. And it says, now the Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from Yahweh tormented him. So he had both, but God took his spirit away and yeah. just left the evil spirit there.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, can you get Acts 5 and 3? Can you? We have a lot of verses to read. Could you go help out with the verses?
Okay.
No, Luke.
Luke 13, 11 through 16. 10, 11. He saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over to and said, dear woman, you are healed of your sickness. Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord said, you hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? Amen.
Amen.
Told him.
Hypocrite. Pastor, could you get Acts 5 and 3?
Is
no.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You can hear me, right? Yeah. All right. So, Acts 5 and 3, reading from the New American Standard Bible, says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the proceeds of the land?
That was her and her husband.
And his wife died.
Yep, God dropped them dead. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 says, I have decided to hand over such a person to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, in order that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Could you get what comes before that? Because I don't know what that scripture is referring to, Pastor.
It's talking about the Apostle Paul, and it was a man in the church who had basically slept with his of the Lord, something like that.
Okay.
And so, you know, he became like a virus to the congregation. Sleeping with his father's wife.
Right. That is the story.
So basically, he got excommunicated. But the point is that he was still saved.
Right.
But he had to leave the church because he couldn't, you know, he had to leave that portion of the body of Christ.
Okay. So now 2 Corinthians 11 and 4 say, for if the one who comes proclaims another Jesus whom we have not proclaimed, or you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you put up with it well enough. I have to read that before. For if the one who comes proclaims another Jesus whom we have not proclaimed. Oh, this is like false teaching, false documents. Yes, those are like false teaching, false documents. And 12 and 7 says, even because of the extraordinary degree of the revelation, therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, in order that I would, it would torment me, so that I would not be exalted. So these are examples of how believers can have both spirit and Satan, But it says, but when these verses are examined, they do not prove that believers can be demon-possessed. Perhaps the question should be restated. Instead of asking whether a believer can be demon-possessed, we should ask whether or not Satan or demons can work from within a believer as well as from the outside. In other words, can the base of operation for Satan or the demons be inside as well as outside a believer? So the reference in 1 Samuel says that an evil spirit tormented Saul, but the base of operation is not stated. Nor do we know definitely Saul's spiritual condition before God. Luke attributes the woman's deformity to a demon, and the Lord calls her a daughter of Abraham. Some understand this to be a clear case of a demon working within a believer. However, it is unclear whether the daughter of Abraham indicated a believer or only that she was one of God's chosen people, Israel. Clearly, she was not a Christian in the post-Pentecost sense of the word. Is that clear? You understand what's going on here? It's still trying to determine whether these examples indicate that these people were believers.
Mm-hmm.
Which when we say believers, we're talking about Christians.
Christians.
Whether they were, yeah, whether believers can have Satan operate on the inside as well as the outside of a believer. So the punishment on the sinning brother in 1 Corinthians 5 involved delivering him over to Satan, which is 1 Timothy 1 and 20, which says, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan in order that they may be taught not to blaspheme. But whether this meant that Satan and or demons would work from within his life, or simply that he was now being put out of the fellowship and protection of the church into the domain of Satan, the world, is debatable. So this is still debatable because he's saying that, you know, even though Timothy said we were going to hand him over to Satan, whether it meant that Satan would be, you know, that the demons would work from within his life, or simply that he was now being put out of the church itself and given over to the domain of Satan, which is the world, you know, is a different story. The different spirit of 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, when we talked about the different spirit, is not a demon any more than another Jesus in the verses. It is another gospel that brings bondage. The base of operation of the messenger of Satan, a demon, that God sent to afflict Paul is unstated in 12:7. Right? We don't know the base of the operation. And when they say base, they're talking about, is it coming from Satan inside or Satan outside?
Right.
So it's saying that the base of operation of the messenger of Satan, which is the demon,
that God sent to afflict Paul is unstated. So we don't know the base of it.
Right.
Though the result was the thorn in the flesh, this did not mean that the demon had to reside in Paul.
Right.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, Acts 5 and 3, which talks about Ananias, mm-hmm. for what reason has Satan filled your heart that you lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back for yourself some of the proceeds of the piece of land, clearly states that Satan filled the heart of Ananias to cause him to lie to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The word fill is the same as used in Ephesians 5 and 18, where it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's still the same word, fill.
Mm-hmm.
But this is talking about being filled. She filled, Satan filled in her heart. But Ephesians is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Of the filling of the Spirit. Says there is no reason not to believe that Ananias was a believer. Here is a clear statement that Satan did fill the heart of a believer. Because we do know Ananias was a believer, right?
Yes.
They accepted Christ.
Yep.
They were coming with their, you know, their
gifts
and so forth
their
and so on.
And everything, yep.
Right.
But
Satan filled their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is said about demons here, though. Presumably, if Satan filled his heart, demons could have also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to make that decision, then his wife turned around and did the same thing?
Yes.
She didn't even know. I mean, she turned around and did the same exact thing he did.
Right.
And why? I mean, why did they have to lie? All they had to do was say, I'm not giving you all the money that we, you know, but
no,
it didn't make
see,
any
that's
sense
what
for them to even lie.
But that's what they had said before in the beginning, that they were going to sell everything and give all the money to them. But then when they realized that they had sold everything and the amount of money that they got, they figure, well,
yes,
why should we give it all? We can just give them half.
Right.
So right there,
you
reneged on your promise.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They probably would have been better off if they just said, look, we only giving you half.
Exactly.
But they kept going with the lie. This is all we got.
No, that's
lie. That is so bad. So, how can this evidence be evaluated? Here are two suggestions. First, we should discard phrases like demon possessed and demon indwelling. When referring these concepts to believers, because we tend to read into these terms the same idea we have about spirit indwelling, which means when we say the spirit indwells, it's a permanent resident in a believer.
Right.
So we can't say the same thing about demon possession, demon indwelling. We only can say it about the spirit, because the spirit indwelling is a permanent resident in the believer.
Absolutely.
Neither Satan nor demons can permanently indwell a believer or ultimately have victory over him, even though they may dominate or control a believer's life for some time. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's a very important. That is a very important thing.
Yes.
And I'm going to read it again. Neither Satan nor demons can permanently indwell a believer or ultimately have victory over him, even though they may dominate or control a believer's life for some time. Mm-hmm. A believer may be delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but
yes,
the spirit,
mm-hmm,
will be saved in the day of the Lord. So that's what we read about. We read that about the man who, as Pastor said, where it says, I have decided to hand, this is Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5:5, it says, mm-hmm, I have decided to hand over such a person to Satan for,
yes,
the destruction of the flesh,
mm,
in order that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So this just confirms the fact that, you know, when we save, you save. You save, you save.
That's right.
So you can't take it back.
Can't.
And
nope.
So even though you may do some satanic things,
mm-hmm,
as a believer, nothing will take away your salvation.
No.
That still won't take away your salvation.
Amen.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever Satan or demons can do to a believer, and whether from without or within, as their base of operation, their control cannot be permanent or eternal.
Mm-hmm.
John clearly declares that the evil one cannot touch the one who is born of God. And
amen.
That's in 1 John,
mm-hmm,
5 and 18. Could you get that hold there and read? 1 John 5 and 18.
Peter. Okay, here we go. 1 John 5 and 18 says, we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's son holds them securely and the evil one cannot touch them.
Mm-hmm. So the word touch here,
mm-hmm,
involves the purpose of harming. Satan cannot harm the believer.
That's right.
John uses the word in only one other place,
mm-hmm,
and that's John 20:17, where it says, Jesus said to her, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brother and tell him, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. So that's the other time John talks about touch.
Mm-hmm.
And it means not a superficial touching, but a grasping, clinging, or holding on to someone.
Yes.
Satan can never hang on to the believer with the purpose of harming him.
Mm-hmm.
For that believer belongs eternally, irrevocably to God.
Yes.
Satan or demons may,
mm-hmm,
afflict and even control for a time, but never permanently or eternally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow. We're going to end there because it's 7:57, and we'll start back up with the second paragraph, next paragraph. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That is something, and it is so good to know that he cannot hold on to the believers. He can torment us, but he can't touch us.
Can't touch us.
Nope. And we can definitely
Once
tell them
we belong to God, we are eternally God's child.
Eternally, yes.
Yes.
Praise God.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Wonderful lesson. Wonderful. I loved it. Love.
Wow. Ooh, praise God. Dear God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I don't even think believers understand the depth of your love, Lord God. This, learning this, Lord God, goes so much deeper, Lord God, into really understanding what eternal life is with you, Lord God. But it also says that the devil does not have any hold on us once we have accepted you as our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit indwells within us. We are with you permanently, and the devil cannot hold on to us. He can't touch us. He can't harm us, Lord God. And we also know, Lord God, that we also have the ability to say, get behind me, Satan.
And yes.
When we know, when we know the things
Thank
that Satan
God.
Wants us to do, and we refuse to do it, Lord God, and
yes.
we call on the Holy Spirit to help
Hallelujah.
Us, Lord God.
Help
we
me.
Thank you. We bless your holy name, Lord God.
Yes.
This is mind-blowing, and I
yes.
love you, Lord God, and I thank you for this, Lord God. And we just want to bless you and thank you, Lord God. And
yes.
we just want to say a special prayer to all of those, Lord God, who are listening and those who are not able to come, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Whoa.
God bless you for a wonderful lesson this evening. Hopefully next week we'll get back into this because it is so good.
Right. So we just got to just let Sister Barbara know where we left off at. And then,
yeah.
right, because next week I'll be doing Talk
Wednesday.
Through the Bible on Wednesday.
Okay.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Have a blessed
Have a good one.
Night.
Amen.
You too,
Good
you
night.
Too,
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. And we're going to
shalom.
Leave out on shalom on all belongs to you.
Belongs to you. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.